chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone at a bit of an unusual time, but that's okay. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
It's because I'm working. I'm in D.C. today.
Oh, by the way, I missed this, but happy birthday in arrears.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was only about a month ago, but that's...
Two weeks? Come on now. It's not that... Well, you know, with all your rescheduling, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. See that?
Well, this is what you get when you get a new guy. You know, they've got us all over the place.
No kidding. So. No kidding. Okay, so we all watched the King's speech yesterday. Well, I mean, most of us didn't. We've been talking about it this morning. You feature prominently in the video as... Did you shake his hand? Did you touch him on the way out? Did you talk? You got to meet him, right? Personally?
Yeah. So no, like formal meet and greet. There was like all this like strict protocol. Do not touch him when he comes into the chamber.
So we were at the White House. Like he's a holy man?
We were. It may have been because he was on tight schedule. I don't know. Cause he had a state dinner last night too.
Yeah.
So we did a reception at the White House with the King and Queen last night, which is a little bit odd.
Agreed.
I mean, you're talking about you're hosting him, yeah? Because Camilla's now she's Queen,
right?
He bestowed her that title, but it's still a little odd. I mean, here we're having a reception, a receiving of him at the same building his army and his great grandfather's army tried to burn down,
right?
You know, so
and we did kind of have a fairly high profile breakup from the whole monarchical system a few years ago, right? So it's all weird.
It is weird, but you know, but you go and you reflect it, and when he gave his speech, you know, he talked about how we stood shoulder to shoulder in World War I and II, you know, in Afghanistan. So I mean, so there was those conflicts, and look, and he made it clear. In a nice way, he tried to mend the fences. I mean, and the president's comments yesterday and today, or last night, were reflective. You know, it's obvious that you know he has a love for the history of the role that England has played as our ally. But you know, it's obviously right now the leadership in the prime minister's office is just not jiving with United States direction.
Right. And I thought the same thing. I thought the meat of the speech yesterday, a lot of it was quite good stuff. We certainly are much more a British, country than we are a French or an Italian or German or anything else in our history, our traditional laws and all that. But, you know, the real meat of that speech was the, hey, remember 9/11, we were with you. Look at Ukraine. Are you with us? You know, and then also NATO. That was the meat of the speech, right?
Yeah, and then so last night at the correspondents' dinner, the king had pivoted and told us, "Look, and President Trump, I know you reminded us. If it wasn't for the United States, all of Europe would be speaking German."
Right.
And then the king goes, "But you know, Mr. President, I'll remind you. If it wasn't for us, you'd probably be speaking French right now."
It was here. I actually have that clip, John. Put my computer on here. This is funny.
Indeed, you recently commented, Mr. President, that if it were not for the United States, European countries would be speaking German. Dare I say that if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking French.
But see, Jimmy, to me, this highlights the awkwardness of this whole thing, because truth be told, if it weren't for the French, we'd still be colonies. I mean, you know, like it's an odd thing to brag about, right?
Yeah. So, I mean... But then when they told us to get back to your initial point, they told us, do not touch. So, and when they walked in the same way the president comes up to the State of the Union. I mean, they literally sprinted by, okay? And then, so then he gave a speech. It was almost exactly 30 minutes. And then we didn't expect him to walk out the same way he came in, but he did. And I noticed he was shaking hands with people on the way out. So I said, well, hell, I stuck my hand out there and shook hands with him. But Camilla was actually really friendly. You know, she kind of greeted there for that half of a second. We had a moment
nice.
And shook hands with her too. So
you had your phone out. Did you take a selfie?
No, I tried to take pictures, but you know what? I got everybody's shoes. So, I mean, I was, you know, it was just in the rush of things. So, I think some people told me that they saw on video on the TV that we had shook hands, but I haven't seen anything yet.
But you weren't wearing a MAGA hat, right? Not this time?
No.
Trump was right about everything hat.
what I did do, so we went to the White House yesterday, and they gave every person there a British flag and an American flag, little hand ones. And so I thought, okay. I didn't wave, flags because we were in the rain the whole time. But then when we went to the chamber, I took my American. I was going to take the British flag. I took my right. American flag. And the king goes and makes a comment about these small rebellion of these 13 original colonies. I took my damn flag out, started waving, and the speaker just made a beeline. You can see his eyes make a beeline on me. But, it is what it is. I mean, if he wants to make fun of us, then I'm going to say, hey, we won.
It's all fine and mending the fences to joke about the White House being burned, but also you burned the White House. I mean, So anyway, it's funny. You did a town hall. Was it Monday? An online thing? Was it in person or online?
No. So it was a telephone town hall. We had, at the highest point, we had 3,000 people on the phone at one time. And we probably got to about 13 questions. When you do these, there's some structure that you've got to, If you're going to do one of these, house rules has structure you have to have. So it's just like a radio. You have to say, who the town hall is for, push star 3 for ask a question. So it's almost like how you have to do breaks in radio to say what the station identification is. So, but it was great. I got a lot of good feedback from the folks that called in or answered the calls. We got some takeaways with some policies. The only probably downside in some of it is, I don't get their information, and some folks need some follow-up. So, I just gave out the office number a lot last night or Monday night and say, look, circle back with us when we get off the call, and we'll take a personal interest into it. Because sometimes folks get the call, but they don't realize what our office actually does. And we've got to constantly get out there and let people know the role that we can play in order to help them with maybe a challenge they're having with a government agency.
Very good. And by the way, I cannot remember, did we do a radio town hall maybe one time? We ought to do that again because we do that periodically with folks. Yeah. And we'd love to have you in studio for an hour and take texts and stuff. It's fun. So,
What I'll do is what we call a fly-out day. We'll fly out on a Thursday, and so I'll fly into Pensacola, and then we'll overnight, and then we'll do in studio y'all on Friday morning.
Excellent. You were quoted, I think, by Channel 3 weighing in on the Department of Justice, who has been nothing if not unhelpful in the lawsuit against the Saudi government for their possible complicity, either by knowledge or otherwise, in the attack at NES Pensacola. Man, they've been dragging their feet. The Department of Justice is just not disclosing information. What can you tell folks who are still very concerned, not just for the families to get their justice if it's due, but also for us as people to know, just how much was the Saudi government aware or involved or in anything connected to this? It's been a very, why isn't anybody being willing to say the truth about this for a long time?
Yeah, closure would be great. I remember making it there that night of the shootings, and it was very traumatizing. And so when you've got an event like that, we reached out to the federal prosecutor for the Northern District, and we kind of got it's an investigation in progress. When we are prepared to release more information, we will. And so it sounds like what I'm going to need to do, and I don't know how much more I'll be able to acquire out of this, is just go do a sit down with the federal attorney. But unfortunately, we've had changes in administration since this has taken place. We've had changes in federal attorney since this has taken place. So as the new federal attorney comes in, he was not here in that capacity when the shooting took place. Yeah. So, there's a learning curve for everybody. They bring in different administrations, typically bring in a whole new team to run that office. So in addition to the current caseload, they probably have not dug into this a lot because there's probably some issue at the federal level, the national level, the Department of Justice on this investigation.
Yeah, one of the byproducts of having government changeover is government changeover, and especially when the large amount of dismissals and changeover under President Trump and you know, the families and the rest of us are eager and been following this all along, and, you know, they haven't necessarily because they have a lot of other responsibilities. It's a good point, but I'm looking forward to you having the sit down with them. Obviously, the big news over the weekend was the assassination attempt again, another assassination attempt against President Trump. Of course, the bullets came nowhere near him, thank God. Secret Service worked. I think they've come under some criticism, which partially they deserve, but the system worked. But, I mean, you know, Rick Scott, I was talking to him yesterday, and he basically said, I just don't think the president can go to events. You know, I myself didn't go to that event, and partially I think he said it was out of concern about security that, you know, you just can't make these things safe.
Yeah, so the Secret Service director will be on Capitol Hill today answering questions regarding this about if there's breakdowns. Seems like the president is definitely he's fearless when it comes to this. He's committed that he's going to continue to do events, you know. And then the crazies out there that, you know, have attacked the construction of the ballroom. You know, this is kind of getting back to, you know, having a secure place to be able to do things like this would be great. I don't know if this is conducive for something like he's doing with the White House ballroom, but the Trump derangement syndrome that exists out there, anything this guy wants to do, you know, whether they see it positive or negative, they just want to stop it. And so I do think, you know, measures will be taken. Unfortunately, the president is going to be in a more, even more secure bubble than he's ever been. And yeah. Then, I mean, he stopped doing outside rallies, or at least kind of really restricted them. He's been doing behind glass now simply because of this.
No, it's terrible. And the thing that has, I mean, I guess maybe I'm just naive because I'm always amazed by things, and I've been amazed by the reaction that some people have online to pretend like this was all a pretend thing, you know, because sure, some guy decided that he was going to volunteer to go to federal prison forever in order to be part of some conspiracy to advance a ballroom construction. Like, it's crazy, but it's not just that they entertain these notions. It's that they think you're stupid if you don't believe this crazy conspiracy. We're in a weird place in the United States right now. Like, I've never seen it quite like this.
Yeah, this obsession with wanting to, and then this gets back to my Section 230 repeal stuff that we talked about at nauseam. You know, social media, you know, the way it is currently architect and designed, it is allowing these people to become social media darlings and movie stars. So how can we outdo somebody else so I can be memorialized and forever in their mind? But unfortunately, it's only for about 10 minutes because some other crazy is going to try to outdo them. And this is all becomes part of become a propaganda tool that has a lot of good. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
a lot of good, but a lot of damn poison, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to out train wreck the last train wreck to get attention, and the willingness to engage in, you know, honesty and sincerity and civil debate is, you know, it's hard to make that case, honestly. And I mean, I try to do it every day, but
I'm going to steal your line, out train the last train wreck, because that's exactly what it is.
Last thing is, you know, the special session for Florida is beginning. There's a lot we could talk about with that, from the redistricting and also the AI. Just real quick, do you think that the AI protections, is that better handled state by state, or is that better handled at the federal level? Because the legislature, the House has kind of said, we don't really want to do anything because we want to let the feds handle this. But you tell me, you're in the federal legislature.
So I think that the argument for why it should be handled at the federal level is because this is a platform that crosses all states. Mm-hmm. So there are website cookie protections that exist strictly in California that don't exist anywhere else. And so then I remember when we would push for laws, our attorney, well, you can't do that because interstate commerce and all this stuff. I said, well, God, we're the state of Florida. Why should I care, you know, what they do in California if I want to have stronger laws for my citizens? So I understand where the governor's coming from and wanting to advocate for this. He has itty bitties, and this is something that he's, you know, his kids, to me, drive a lot of his policy. So I think this is where a lot of his passion for this policy is. It hits close to home with the FSU shooter using ChatGPT in order to, you know, kind of game plan his murder. So, but, you know, it would be easier if we could get our act together at the federal level to do something about it. But unfortunately, we've got a 1-2 vote sometimes majority right now. It's hard. it's really hard to get, you know, our legislation in for a landing and then expect the Senate to take something up. So, again, this is excitement and passion and urgency that the governor in Florida is feeling because he wants to make it happen on his watch.
For sure. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for being so available. I certainly appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care. See you.